This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm flying solo for the first time in many, many weeks. Since Kerry Kasem has retired, I've had guest co-hosts. But today, I think, considering who we are speaking with today, I don't think I need a guest co-host. I think she can handle herself, and she could probably host this show by herself without me and give me a break because there's so much going on in her life. And I don't want to delay things any further because we have limited time. And when you're speaking to Lisa Bloom, there's always things to talk about. So why listen to me, who's by himself here, when we can hear Lisa Bloom, who is a trial lawyer fighting for victims of discrimination, harassment, and abuse. And that's right from her Twitter page. You know, she's been instrumental in so many important cases, including getting Bill O'Reilly fired from Fox News. Of course, she was involved with the Bill Cosby case with Janice Dickinson representing her. Revenge porn, an important issue with Misha Barton, Black China on a restraining order against Rob Kardashian. So many important issues. And we have another one to talk to Lisa Bloom with today. Happy New Year, Lisa. Can I still say Happy New Year, even though it's like middle of January?
You absolutely can. Happy New Year. Happy eve of my favorite holiday of the year, which is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. My favorite holiday of the year as a civil rights attorney.
Lisa, I have to interrupt you because, and I hate to do that because I'm going to let you talk, but you mentioned that and it just brought tears to my eyes because last night my son stood up and he wrote his own I Have a Dream speech. He was learning about Martin Luther King, and as a 7-year-old, actually he just turned 8, I'm sorry, Hudson, as an 8-year-old, he stood up and I videotaped him, and I'm going to have that videotape forever of him. He changed the words and he talked about homelessness, he talked about bullying, and he put it all in the I Have a Dream speech, and of course he said peace and working together and living together in harmony. So thank you for mentioning that.
I love him. Well, great job, Hudson, and great job, Dad, raising a kid who is so socially aware and compassionate. Bravo.
Now go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt. You were saying.
No. Listen, fathers should always interrupt to brag about their children.
Right? And mothers, too. Come on. Mothers and fathers shouldn't. And, you know, I so admire all of the things that you say and do. And recently on your Twitter feed, I saw that you wrote, "It has been a week of kind notes from clients and hate mail from opposing counsel." So I think we're doing this right. What do you mean by that?
That is my life. So, you know, we do a lot of high profile cases all the time, as well as, you know, the majority of our cases, which are just for everyday people who nobody's ever heard of, but their issues are just as important. And as you said, we represent victims of discrimination, harassment, or abuse, a lot of sexual harassment, sexual assault, race discrimination. And, you know, I have a team of 11 attorneys, all of whom I have handpicked and trained and continue to train every day. We're all, you know, they call it the practice of law because we never get it perfect, right? And we are very compassionate and kind to our clients, and we really get in depth with them and get to know them, and we really care about them. And then the other side, you know, sends me these nasty grams about what a terrible person I am and how dare I and how could I, and then, you know, okay, well, I'm not in this to be their best friend. In fact, I think people don't like it when their attorneys are very palsy with the other side.
Right.
I don't think that's a good look, and that's not anything that we do. You know, I like to have cordial professional relationships with opposing counsel, but, you know, a lot of times they really don't like me because I'm saying that their guy sexually assaulted a bunch of people, and, you know, that doesn't go over well on the other side. And I don't expect that. It's fine. I mean, so currently, for example, I'm representing 9 men with sexual misconduct claims against Alexander Wang. And that's been in the news
right.
a little bit. I think it's going to be in the news more in the coming weeks.
The fashion designer. Now, Lisa, sometimes, you know, you're involved in these cases so intimately, you forget that a lot of people need to be reminded who these right. harassers are. I should say mm-hmm. accused harassers. Go ahead mm-hmm. and explain a little bit. But, we will talk about Britt McHenry, and I don't know if she's going to call. And she was supposed to be on the show. Do you know what happened to her?
I don't know. I'm sorry. We're trying to reach her. I hope it wasn't just a misunderstanding.
You know, it's funny.
I hope it was just a misunderstanding.
I hope it wasn't a misunderstanding. You know, I start getting suspicious because in this world now, every minute of the day, I'm suspicious of something. She is, she's a little bit, her politics are a little bit different than yours. Do you think that, and I know you're her attorney, but do you think she didn't want to appear on this show because of her right wing leaning and your left wing?
I don't think that has anything to do with it. Listen, we've been representing her for over 2 years in her sexual harassment and retaliation case against Fox News. I don't care what people's politics are. I care about if they were sexually harassed or wrongfully terminated or abused. And listen, I've represented a lot of women at Fox News. I think she's my fifth one. Fox News has had a long, sad history of sexual harassment of women working there. A lot of that's been in the news. They've paid over $100 million in settlements, and that's just what we know about. And, of course, the people who work at Fox News tend to be right-wing. That's fine. I respect people who have different political philosophies from me. We don't have to all agree on everything. I would hope we would all agree that sexual harassment is wrong or that sexual assault is wrong. Britt McHenry, by the way, has spoken out against Trump. She's one of those conservatives who has a lot of integrity and speaks out against things that are bad, even in her own party, which takes a lot of moral courage. And I salute everybody on the right who's had the courage to speak out against Trump, because I think it's not easy and they deserve credit for that.
But it's a great message you're talking about when you say people on the right, people on the left. You're dealing with issues. You're dealing with an issue of the sexual harassment in this particular case. And I think it's clear that we can all, regardless of right or left, look at issues and hopefully seek justice and what's right and what's wrong versus what political perspective one might have. And hopefully in the future, we're going to get back to a point where we even respect our political foes and we can get along in a bipartisan way.
Yes. I think a lot of people are already there. This just doesn't get a lot of press because it's not exciting when people say, yes, I respect people who disagree with me, right?
Right.
We're not screaming and yelling, but I've always had a lot of friends who are conservatives, who are respectful, who sometimes needle me about things and, you know, change my mind about some things. Cancel culture, for example. They talk about how cancel culture is a real problem on the left, and I agree. So, you know, there are good points to be made on both sides.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, someone who I know you respect and your mom, Gloria Allred, respects uh-huh. very much. Look at her history with Antonin Scalia. Respecting each other, being friends with each other, but couldn't be more diametrically opposed on a lot of the issues that we're talking about.
Going to the opera together.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Can I just go back to Alexander Wang?
We are going back to Wang because we want to make sure that maybe after the break, Britt will be on the show. So we're going to leave Britt for the second segment. Let's talk about Wang.
Sure. So you're right. So some people may not even know who he is. He's a very prominent fashion designer, and he has his own line, his own brand. Apparently people who are much younger and hipper than me are very familiar with it. During the pandemic, I'm mostly wearing leggings on the bottom half and a nice blouse on the upper half if I'm going to do a Zoom, which I do most days. But I don't have anything in my closet from Alexander Wang, but he's a very prominent fashion designer in New York. And a couple of weeks ago, some men on social media accused him of groping them. He then came out and said essentially that they are liars. And that was really the worst thing he could have done, because that prompted then a new wave of additional people to come out and say, you know, I never would have said anything about this, but you're calling these other guys liars, and they're not liars. And so my team and I have spent the last 2 weeks talking to one after the other after the other, and now we have 9 accusers against Alexander Wang, and the allegations run from groping them in clubs, groping their genitals in clubs, to even more serious than that. And I'm just going to leave it at that for now. He denies everything, and you know, we are still in our investigation phase, but it's very serious. And more broadly, you know, the fashion industry really has a problem, and they need some accountability, especially as to models. I represent a lot of models and people in the fashion industry who just get treated like they're props or toys instead of human beings, and it's wrong. And they're starting to stand up and speak out. And I know you want to talk about my Bruce Weber case, which we can do more in depth, but yeah. I represent 6 male models against Bruce Weber, a very prominent photographer.
Yeah.
They accuse him of sexual assault. I represented 4 women against Paul Marciano at Guess, the clothing line, accusing him of sexual assault. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, we need to get some change, and we get it by people standing up and saying, I'm going to tell my story, and, you know, fighting for justice for them.
By the way, we also in workers' compensation deal with the same thing. I have represented, I'm not going to mention a lot of the names, but people mm-hmm. in the fashion industry who have been sexually harassed and abused on the job. It is a workers' comp claim, as well as, you know, the civil case that you're talking about. So it is widespread, and it's sad that there isn't more focus on preventing it. When we talk about the Wang case and the Weber case, quickly, we only have a minute, but tell us where you go, because people are listening and they're saying, okay, that's a lot of accusers. What happens? Do you file suits? Do they settle? And of course, we don't know what's going to happen, but what is the strategy from the Bloom firm?
Well, the first strategy is always a very deep dive into the investigation. Talk to everybody, gather evidence, talk not only to the people who talk to people who call me, but their witnesses. You have a friend who was there, let's talk to the friend. That's the stage we are in now. Then we make a recommendation to the group. The options are you can go to the police if somebody groped you without your consent, if somebody drugged you without your consent. That's always an option. You don't have control over a police investigation. They control that, not us, but that's an option.
Right.
You can file a civil lawsuit. That takes a long time, but certainly can be done, and we do a lot of those. You can do a pre-litigation mediation, which is how we often start our cases. Can we resolve this early on and let everybody get on with their lives? Most people want to try that first. And do we want to talk to the media? Some of my clients already have. Some want to. Do we want to do a press conference? We do those in a lot of our cases. We do it to bring out additional accusers and witnesses. So these are all of the different options. Of course, I don't decide. I make recommendations and the clients decide because it's their case and everybody's different. Some people want to be anonymous, Jane Doe or John Doe. That's fine. I have 6 women against Jeffrey Epstein's estate. They're Jane Doe's. Some people want to use their name and come out publicly. They're very brave. That's great, too. So we sort of advise as to all of the options and then the client makes their decision.
And it's important that people realize that, because a lot of people think that lawyers are always driving forces behind whatever actions are taken. And certainly that is the case most of the time. But we have clients, and your clients especially have sensitive issues that their lives can be changed dramatically in the future with respect to decisions that are made. We have to take a break, but we've got a lot more to talk about. We're talking to Lisa Bloom. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I haven't heard that song for a long time. It's from Lisa and my generation.
Yes,
not the Alexander Wang generation.
Right.
Anyway, we're talking to Lisa Bloom, and I want to thank Lisa very much because she's agreed to stay on for the show, the entire show. We had planned to have later in the show the filmmakers Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss on, who made the film Boy State, kind of a cool film if you're going to want to see something interesting. Apple TV has it. It doesn't cost anything if you have Apple TV Plus. And we're going to have to reschedule Amanda and Jesse. They had a family emergency. They're actually a married couple who made this film, and they had an emergency. So thank you, Lisa, for agreeing to stay with us.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
just
that.
Just try to get rid of me. You won't be able to.
No, I know, but you're always available, and that's appreciated. I think your clients appreciate that, too. You're not one who signs up a client and then disappears.
Nope.
I want to talk about one of your clients now because, you know, for me, Britt McHenry is a household name, but for others, maybe not. I'm a big fan. SportsCenter, Outside the Lines, NFL Live, Baseball Tonight. Been watching them, those shows forever. And Britt McHenry has been a brilliant reporter on those shows, a former ESPN personality, and of course, commentator on Fox Nation, Fox News, 24/7 streaming service, host of WTTG, Fox 5 in Washington, D.C. She tweets at Britt McHenry, and she worked with George Murdoch, who's otherwise known as Tyrus, a wrestler, I guess. That I don't know about. See, I know about SportsCenter. I didn't know that wrestling was a sport. But anyway, apparently Tyrus was a pro wrestler and co-host of Fox Nation show UNPC from December 2018 to February 2019 with Britt McHenry. And now Lisa is representing Britt McHenry in a lawsuit against Fox for sexual harassment. Very interesting case. Britt McHenry, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Apologies for any tardiness, but I'm here and I'm excited.
No problem. We're happy that you're here. I'm going to let you speak first. And of course, you have your attorney, Lisa Bloom, on. You can talk about it, but tell us a little bit about the case. It's well written up on the internet if anyone wants to take a look, but tell us from your perspective what happened over at Fox Nation show on PC.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'm very fortunate to have connected with Lisa and to be with her amazing legal team with Eric Vidali and Sarah Bloom. They have been warriors for me, and I really needed it because look, I'm not the first woman that's going to say this or first person that's in a situation of discrimination or hardship where you just don't want to face the reality. You want to hope it goes away. And unfortunately for me, it didn't. It just got worse. And so I was paired with the man that you described. I was paired with him for a show to not only have a show I was hosting, but to launch this streaming platform. And it was an exciting opportunity. And I think, you know, it gets a little skewed when with the show name and some people's perception. It was really a place where I had envisioned a PTI, if I have sports fans listening, PTI meets political talk in a way that you could be yourself and, right. and you could address the tough issues of the day. And certainly by no means does that correlate to being treated horribly or being treated in a way that is unjust. And, you know, I try to be friendly. When you have a co-host, you have to have a relationship that's friendly. Otherwise, in my point of view, for any platform, any media form, or even if it's just you going to work at a 9-to-5, you know, if you're not cordial and friendly with your coworkers, that's going to be evident, right, when people are watching you. So I tried my hardest to be friends and or just be friendly in a working relationship. And it was really sexual. You know, the advances I got were persistent. They were gross. They were crude, in my opinion. And when, you know, he found out I had a boyfriend, he became mean to me. And it turned from overtly sexual behavior and misconduct that I shouldn't have been subjected to, nor should any woman in the workplace, to cruelty. You know, there were some days before my shows where I didn't want to go into the studio. I, you know, felt like I needed something to pacify myself because I would get that anxious not knowing how the behavior would be towards me. You know, would he be happy today? Would he be mean to me today? Would I cry today? And I notified several superiors about it along the way, because I think everybody wants to avoid the HR office, right? Like, you don't want to say, hey, I just was chosen to launch this platform and now I have this problem, because I errantly believed that it was my problem. Like, I was the problem. And so I was avoiding it, but it culminated in just very visible altercation and abuse on set that it had to be reported. And once it was reported, and this was in April of 2019, I found myself in a situation where it felt as though, and I was treated as though I became the problem, not the person at hand. So that's when I connected with Lisa, and, you know, it's been a long fight, and I'm sure she can elaborate on that. And I've been quiet. I've been still working at that place, and it's sad because I really felt like I could have been an asset. And it's sad when you...
Well, Brett, let me just interrupt. You still will be an asset. So I don't want you talking that way, because I know it's been tough and everything. But it really, you know, I handle victim rights cases all the time. And I always tell my clients, you will bounce back. And it is difficult now. You make some great points. I had a co-host, Carrie Kasem, for 7 years here on Gervie's Law. And we didn't always see eye to eye, especially politically, but that didn't stop us from being friends, from having respect. And that's what I want Lisa to address her comments to now. You can have, and Lisa's had co-hosts on her media shows as well. And this is what Britt's talking about. You can have respect for someone and you can differ in your opinions. And that's what Carrie and I did all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, Britt, before you got on the call, Alan said to me, you know, do you have any problems in your relationship with Britt because you have different political philosophies? And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah. I'm very fond of Britt. We've been fighting for her for a couple of years now almost. And, you know, that has nothing to do with it. Let me just say this, that people can disagree about politics. They can disagree about workplace things. What they cannot do is sexually harass a coworker. And a company, when they are put on notice of sexual harassment, they have a legal obligation to do an immediate investigation, instigate corrective action, protect the victim, punish the perpetrator. In this case, the sexual harassment is largely over text message. So it's really not in question what happened. It's not a he said, she said. It's a, here it is on the text messages, right? So it's right there in black and white. It's pretty clear. And this is all in the context, the very important context, of Fox News's long, sad history of sexual harassment. There are dozens and dozens of women who have been sexually harassed there. The company handled it very poorly year after year, whether it was Roger Ailes or Bill O'Reilly, or now up into the present, any number of others. The woman who runs the company right now, Suzanne Scott, who's the CEO, was very close with Roger Ailes and has been accused in a number of cases of covering up and protecting him from his sexual harassment.
And let's not, Lisa, let's not forget about a guest that we had for an hour last year, Gretchen Carlson, who talked a lot about it. And one of the things she talked to me about was she felt poorly or badly that she wasn't able to talk as much about what happened because of certain agreements and settlements that were made. You're involved in this, and I appreciate Britt speaking, how do you get the courage, Britt, to talk about this? I know Gretchen wanted badly to talk about what happened, but wasn't able to as much as she wanted to. But why is it so important? I think Lisa makes some good points about, you know, Fox's response. And it's got to be something that makes you angry to think that they would question. And, you know, it's an interesting comment that Eric Fudali of the Bloom Firm said, the accused gets promoted and the accuser gets demoted.
Right. Yeah,
that's
what happened.
That's what happened. And, you know, it's been interesting still working there, which I think you all would agree on this panel, like no victim of sexual harassment, abuse or misconduct should be the one that's forced to leave their job, should be the one that's forced to leave an income during a pandemic because of the abuses that happened to them.
And so I'm getting the courage and strength, and I feel like I get that courage because, again, I'm so blessed to have a fighter like Lisa on my behalf. But because of still working there and because of the feeling that they're just going to punish me further, it's kept me sort of in this bubble of fear. And the last thing I'll say on that is, you know, it's really hard when even a federal court judge makes a ruling and 3 days later you see your harasser promoted to guest fill-in hosting on primetime. I mean, that it was the most demoralizing feeling I could have had. And so I think all it takes is for you to flip on the TV and see him on there consistently still to know what side they chose. And that's heartbreaking for women, in my opinion.
When Judge Paul
Engel...
And
the ruling that she's talking about is we just won a big ruling in our federal case upholding the vast majority of her claims. And in fact, that she did state a good cause of action for sexual harassment. And 3 days later, as she said, the accused harasser gets a primetime guest hosting position and she's iced out. And that's what the case is all about.
You know, we have to take a quick break, but I want to follow up on something that Britt said. When we talk about the judge, Paul Engelmeyer, a U.S. District Judge, he said that it seems rather hostile to threaten to send pictures of genitals as what Tyrus did.
Yeah, you think?
So that's my point here for both of you. Why is this taking so long? We're going to have to address it after the break, but why does it take so long when, you know, even the judge can say, this is... on its face, harassment. Why has justice not moved any quicker for Britt? And we'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You can make a grown man.
All right, we're back. I'm Alan Gervie, and we are talking to Britt McHenry, who has filed a lawsuit against Fox, and her attorney, Lisa Bloom. A couple weeks ago, we had Steve Donziger on this show, Lisa, and Steve has, and I don't know if you're familiar with her case, but he won significant money, billions of dollars in Ecuador against Chevron. And he has had a real tough time since then. The Chevron has gone after him for a RICO action and all kinds of things, spending millions and millions of dollars to go after the attorney who won the big decision. Before the break, I talked about how long some of these cases take. Are you finding with the money that Fox spends in defending these cases, the attorney fees, that it seemed to be, you know, just endless paying money to attorneys, that it really causes problems for a David and Goliath type of action?
Well, there's no question that the wealthy and powerful have a huge advantage in our criminal justice system, because if it costs them a couple million dollars to defend, like, what do they care? Especially 21st Century Fox, which is a very wealthy, profitable company. And I talk to people every day who come to me with cases, sexual harassment, sexual misconduct. And I have to tell them, listen, our Bruce Weber case, for example, we filed it in 2017. It's now 2021. We still don't have a trial date. We're hoping it'll be sometime in 2021, but who knows? So if you file a case today, it could take 3 years, 4 years, 5 years to get to trial. I had a trial in 2019. We had a hung jury. It took 3 years to get that case to trial. That was 2019. We don't even have a new trial date. So I think COVID has slowed things down as well. It's very frustrating. And, you know, in Britt's case, if you look up courage in the dictionary, you should see a picture of Britt McHenry, because this is a woman who had the courage to go to HR like we always want people to do. All she wanted to do was work. All she wanted them to do was take care of the problem so she could just keep working, and they failed to do it. And instead, they went on the attack against her. You know, I came into the case. We wanted to resolve it without the necessity of litigation, just fix the problem, just take care of her, just do the right thing. No. So ultimately, you know, we had no other choice. We filed the lawsuit. It took almost a year
from filing, for them to file their motions to dismiss, and the judge to rule on that. And so only now are we even starting discovery, and that's the period where we get to take depositions,
right,
subpoena documents.
Uh-huh.
So the system moves so slowly. And I emphasize this because people talk a lot about what are the reforms we can have to do better in the area of sexual harassment. And we've passed some, and that's great. But the biggest reform would be speed up the system. Let's give these cases priority. Let's move them through. That would get justice for a lot more victims if we could manage that.
Britt, tell us how it feels in responding to what Lisa's saying, because you're in the middle of it. Obviously, your life has been on hold to a degree. You're still working, thankfully, but it must be a cloud hanging over you, especially when now you find Fox retaliating against you, accusing you of things. Like, how does that feel when, you know, as Lisa says, you're the victim and all of a sudden you're being attacked?
It's surreal. You know, I think some of their tactics of retaliation are meant to push me down and meant to make me honestly cry because it's so cruel and say to Lisa, I can't do this anymore. Let's just end it. And quite frankly, I hope this motivates anyone else who's been wronged. It does the exact opposite. It only fuels my fire to find the justice and get out of this the way that we should and we want to. But to your question about my career, yes, it's a total pause button for any person who comes forward. And fortunately, I still work at Fox 5 DC, and they have been great to me. But, you know, if I didn't have that, I just wouldn't be on air for a year. And not only that, I had brain surgery. And sometimes that's the most surreal part, where it's like, they don't even care that I could have died this year. Like, they're still trying to wedge this gap and this inequity. And that hurts me the most as just a human. It just feels very cruel.
You know, that's hard. It's such an important point you make. And, you know, maybe another time we can have you on the show and talk about your experience with the brain surgery, because you showed a lot of courage. I saw the picture on your Twitter feed when you were facing the day that you were having your surgery. And, you know, you can talk about how you discovered the need. I know you were talking about the headaches. We don't want to get into it too much, but how important it was for you to get well and to take the action and to be able to get the surgery. And it must have just complicated things. And when you talk about people like George Murdoch, you know, what is he thinking? And it's there's got to be a lot of guilt on the other side. I don't know how people deal with it, but apparently they do. Have you had any personal contact from anyone who is involved here to at least show some consideration for you and some caring for what you've been going through?
I have, from a lot of other women and hosts there at Fox News, and I appreciate any kindness. I really do. And I needed it at the time of surgery. But the sad thing was, and I really hope any listener pays attention to this, I was excusing brain tumor headaches for 6 months because of the way I was being treated. And that is wrong. And that is why you need to find a Lisa Bloom or an attorney. Because if I had waited any longer, I could have had a brain aneurysm and permanent brain damage because of that ailment. And I was excusing it because of, hey, it must be normal with this mistreatment at work. So while I appreciate the women who reached out to me, most of them only did about my illness. Only one person reached out about the mistreatment at work. And so that was eye-opening for me, you know, because yes, one could mean life or death, but the other is something that's really, really emotionally hard for anybody going through it. And I wish I would have received more support then.
You know, we only have 30 seconds. And when I say that to Britt McHenry, she knows what that's about, because in her career, she's had to face that, especially with ESPN when time was of the essence. Tell us what you are hopeful for through this lawsuit and moving forward.
I am hopeful that we get what we deserve. I'm hopeful in 2021 we can find the justice and wrap it up. Because just like you, I still love my sports. I think we all need some sports and entertainment in this dreary political world right now.
Right.
And I want to just have that smile on my face and know that at least maybe I stood up for some change for women that will continue to work there and for myself.
And what I tell all my clients is they are helping others out, and it's got to make them feel
good to consider
that you are setting standards for others to also prevail in very difficult and complicated situations like you're in. We wish you all the best.
She is a hero and a role model. She truly is. And one of the strongest clients that I have. I just want to emphasize, never once has she wanted to back down, even when she was going in for brain surgery.
Well,
she said, keep fighting my case, Lisa. And I said, don't worry, we will, Britt.
Well, I think Fox is in trouble knowing that. We wish you all the best, Britt. We're going to talk to Lisa a little bit more after the break.
Okay.
Britt McHenry, thanks for being with us on Garvey's Law today.
Thank you, Britt.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. We will be right back. You're listening to Garvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
If you don't want to see me dancing with somebody, if you won't never leave
that. All right, we are back. And that was Lisa. We're talking to Lisa Bloom, by the way, victim rights attorney. And she's done me a favor. She's stuck on with me because we had a cancellation in our guests for today. And I'm going to give you a question in a second, Lisa. But before I do, I just want to say, really courageous, Britt McHenry. I was really impressed with her. And you're very fortunate. I mean, obviously, you get these great clients because of who you are as an attorney and how you treat people and how you fight for them. But at the same time, it is nice once in a while to just say, wow, I got someone who I can really work with.
Right. Well, listen, if I can't work with somebody, we're not going to take their case. I mean, it is just as simple as that. We have probably, 100 people reaching out to us every week, and we can only take a small number of them. Those that we can't take, we try to send them somewhere else, so somebody that can help them. But, especially if it's a case that's going to be in litigation, as opposed to just us writing a letter and trying to resolve it. People have to be strong. They have to be ready. They have to have corroboration. They have to have emotional support people in their life, right? We require people to go to therapy. I mean, it's all got to be there because we don't want to fight a case for a year, two, three, and then the client says, I can't take it anymore and drops out. And, that does happen, but we try to, minimize that. And so I would also say something else, which is our clients do get stronger as the case goes on. People are always very scared at the beginning.
Yes.
And they go through the first step, or they do their deposition, or there's a motion and we win the motion, or, even if we lose the motion, they discover, you know what, I can do this. I was really scared, but I'm doing it, and it's okay. And, and I like to give them a lot of encouragement and talk about how they really become empowered. And that's actually the best part about what I do, is taking people who are very, very fearful and empowering them to take control of their lives and get them justice and accountability.
Right. And I should say that I've been privileged enough to work on cases that Lisa has also either worked on or passed on from the workers' compensation angle, because a lot of the cases that she sees are people who call her that she may not be able to help out because they are workers' compensation cases or they are crossover cases. A lot of times we can help them. And it's nice to know that there are a lot of victims' rights attorneys that think the same way in trying to do what they can.
And I send everybody to you for workers' comp, Alan.
Thank you.
I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show, because you are really a very fine attorney, and I don't do workers' comp. That's a very specialized area. It calls for somebody with a lot of knowledge and expertise and compassion, and that's you. So they all go to you. And everybody's very happy with you, and that all goes very well.
I appreciate that. And coming from this week, having a couple of new clients that came in, unfortunately, with death cases from COVID, work, seeing the children. I spoke to a 17-year-old son of someone who died, and it just chokes me up when I think about what happened. So there are a lot of cases that you and I both see that are heartbreaking. Speaking of cases, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about cases, and I'm going to put some names out there. You can choose. This is like a game show. Lisa Bloom. Here
door
is
number one,
your
door
choice,
number two.
Right? Door number one.
Get
door.
A dinette set.
Your dinette set. You're talking about our age again. Come on, we don't call them dinette sets anymore. That's from the olden days of The Price is Right.
That's right.
Anyway,
that's right.
So we could talk about, we've talked about Albert Wang, Bruce Weber. There's the Ballless Wonder, Bradley Stein. I don't mean that flippantly, but that's a Black Lives Matter case. There's a couple of more Black Lives Matters cases that you're handling. Of course,
yes,
Elizabeth Taylor, Chastity Jones, Alki David, names mm-hmm. that, you know, when I see on your Twitter feed when you talk about the formidable C, asterisk, 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 that Alki David calls you, the vile attorney that Bill O'Reilly. Riley, only compliments.
Right.
There you
right.
go. Okay, which door do you want to take?
Well, I'll just say very briefly, the two that you named, Chastity Jones and Elizabeth Taylor, two of my clients who we sued billionaire Alki David. We had both of those trials in 2019. For Chastity Jones, we got one of the biggest jury verdicts in California that year in any kind of a case, in her sexual harassment case. It was $11 million, and it's now worth over $18 million with attorneys. We got $1.5 million with attorney's fee award. And then there were two other women represented by my mom's firm. They went to trial. They also won. These are all sexual harassment, sexual assault cases. They're very serious cases. And then Elizabeth Taylor's trial, unfortunately, ended in a mistrial, so we have to retry that case. But this is a guy who three juries have found he sexually assaulted women and hit him very hard with very significant jury verdicts because what he did was so awful. And, I'm very proud to represent these women. And, you know, these guys have to be accountable for what they did. I really want to talk about the Black Lives Matter cases, too. And I know time is short. So this year, you know, as we know, in May, after the murder of George Floyd, people took to the streets in Black Lives Matter protests. I was out there at those protests. I've been out at Black Lives Matter protests many times over the years. And I represent three Black Lives Matter protesters from May of 2020 who were shot by police at these protests. All of my clients were unarmed. And one of them in Los Angeles, Bradley Stein, who you mentioned, was shot in the genitals with police rubber bullets. And two others in Sacramento, young protesters, were shot in the face. One of them blinded in one eye. The other one almost blinded. The bullet just narrowly missed his eye. Instead, he has a big scar on his face and
wow.
a lot of neurological problems as a result. Police rubber bullets are never supposed to be aimed at somebody's face or genitals.
Right.
It's always supposed to be center mass. And they're not supposed to be used as a method of crowd control. So, this was very, very disturbing. And my clients are lovely people. We've filed these lawsuits. They are well underway. And we've also worked with some state legislators to try to get some reforms. Unfortunately, they didn't pass in 2020. But how these so-called less lethal weapons are used. And, you know, they're often used indiscriminately, police just shooting into crowds. And, you know, it's very unfortunate. It's not right. People have permanent lifelong injuries as a result. All three of my clients, this was the first time that they had been out at a Black Lives Matter protest. And, you know, now they have these lifelong injuries, and it's just wrong. And it's very disturbing. Last week. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear the press release, then I'll ask you.
Well, because, you know, we saw the Capitol Police on January 6th allowing some of those protesters to go in and get away with what they did. We know more now that the Capitol Police, some of them really did put up a fight, and God bless them. And one of them even lost his life. Bless him and his family.
Right.
I mean, my heart goes out to them. But, you know, for the Black Lives Matter protesters, I mean, it's a completely different situation. They're out there, it's outside, they're unarmed, and, you know, they get shot. So, you know, just really different type of treatment.
So what kind of defenses are you running up against in these Black Lives Matter cases? Mm-hmm. Are they, are they digging their heels in the police, the representatives for the police, or are they understanding that this should not be done?
Yeah, they're fighting us, you know, just like they do in every case. It's funny, sometimes
defense lawyers say to me, oh, if you file this case, you know, you're going to really be in for a fight. I said, yeah, like in every case. Of course I'm going to be in for a fight. I don't expect anybody to just roll over. That never happens. So, yeah, I mean, they take the position that, well, actually, they haven't even really said what happened yet. We have some spotty videos. We're trying to get all of the police videos so that we can see what happened. You know, they have a picture of my female client, Nia Love, who the one who was blinded in Sacramento with something in her hand. What she has in her hand is her cell phone. So that's not going to go anywhere. I guess they're trying to imply it was some kind of a weapon, but it's clearly a cell phone.
Well, it could be a weapon, you know, if she was going to text.
Right. Or tweet. Or take a picture, right? So it's a sad day. And, you know, when people are out protesting police brutality and then they become victims of police brutality, it just proves the whole point of the protest.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to wish you luck in those because I think a lot of people will be watching. And people don't understand that you don't go at this alone. You're the founder and owner of the Bloom Firm. It takes a village, as Laura Wasser said on our show a few weeks ago. you know, it's not something that you do alone. So you have so many cases and so many important issues. And I think people have to understand that this is a big machine and it takes that machine because you're fighting up against, you know, like we said, the Goliaths of the world.
Well, I loved that Britt McHenry in your last segment said, you know, not only me, but the others on my team who she really appreciates that we're all fighting for her. And, you know, one of the ones she mentioned is my daughter, Sarah Bloom, who is an attorney at my law firm. Done trials with me. She's a wonderful trial lawyer. She's on Britt McHenry's case. She's on the Bruce Weber case. She's admitted to practice law in California and New York, just as I am. So we can do cases in either state together. And we have, you know, a team of, I think, 11 attorneys and another half a dozen staffers. And it's a great team. And, you know, since the pandemic, we've all worked remotely. And thank God everyone has really risen to the occasion.
It's so nice to see how prolific Sarah has become, because I recall, you know, you were on the show when she had passed the bar and she was starting out and now she's right in the middle of it. So, you know, you should be proud. I know you are. And
we'll have
her back on another time because she's so well spoken. And I appreciate getting the emails of the Bloom, the Zoom Bloom. That you,
the Bloom Zoom. Bloom yes, Zoom. Sarah and I are doing the Bloom Zoom.
They're great. Those are great.
YouTube show about legal issues. Well, thank you very much. And my son, Sammy, is now a law student at the University of Pennsylvania Law School.
Wow. Another one, Sammy.
We're spawning them as fast as we can, Alan.
Well, Lisa, I wish you all the luck and thanks for spending the time with us today. I really enjoy it and some important issues we talk about every time, and I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. Stay safe.
Yeah, you too. Be well. And that's going to do it for this week's show of Gervie's Law. We will see you next week.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.